Well, I won't say good morning because you've already been good morning several times, but it is good to see you again. 3 months ago, or a little less than that, when I was really old, and I was here, it was great to be here then. I never expected to be back this soon, but here I am, 3 months older, and back again, and I appreciate it. This is indeed an honor, a privilege, for me to be here. And I trust that the Lord will use the truth this morning in all of our hearts and all of our lives. You have a particular need. I trust that your heart will be open to the ministry of the Spirit of God as He wants to speak to us today. And if you kept your Bible open, that's good. We're going to be talking from that passage. If you didn't, it would be a good idea to have it in your hands. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Let's bow together in a word of prayer. Our loving Heavenly Father, it is a privilege for us to be together as the body of Christ. It's a special privilege to be in your presence. It is difficult for us to understand how the God of the universe, the majestic sovereign, would tolerate us coming into your presence. But you do. In fact, you opened the door for us to come. And we pray today, our Father, that indeed we will worship you as we consider your word, that we will concentrate our thinking on what you have thought to have put in your word. Obviously, you want us to know what it is. And we pray that you will minister to us in a special way. May this be a great morning and a great day, because we have come to be with you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, something very special is going to happen. In fact, something amazing, something marvelous, something quite different, something that is mind-boggling, really, something that never happened before. This will be a first. Well, not exactly. It's actually happened, I think, 4 other times. But it never happened on the scale that it is going to happen. And it could happen at any moment. This is something that some dead people are actually going to be involved in. And millions of people who are alive are going to be involved in. Not all dead people will be involved in this, and not all living people will be involved in it either. The reason that some of the living people will not be involved, they're too busy. They've got many, many other things on their minds. They haven't listened to what God has been saying for a long time. Some of them have rebelled against what God has said. Some are trapped in their unbelief. Some are trapped in their pride and arrogance. And this particular something we're talking about is not something you can do yourself. In fact, it is totally dependent upon a source outside ourselves. It is something that takes power way beyond anything you can imagine today. And we imagine a lot about a lot of power today. We see what men do with power. They blow things up, or they build things tall, or they fly into and walk in space. They probe the planets. An incredible amount of money and power is demanded to do all of those kinds of things. But man cannot do this something that we're going to talk about today. And I'm talking about the instantaneous resurrection of thousands of bodies, the ascension of millions of people, the transformation of all of them in an instant, and the meeting in the clouds with the Lord Jesus Christ, and all of it done in the blink of an eye. You know how we know that? God said so. And when God says so, it's going to take place. There are a number of titles that I could have used for the message today. I usually have a hard time coming up with one, but I got about eight. He is coming, could be one. Or arrival time, any time. Or when will he return? What an event! There'll be nothing like it. Or we could take out of the book of Revelation, Lord, come soon. Or it could happen anytime. And all of those titles describe the same thing. We already read it, but we're going to read it again in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, only this time we'll just start at verse 13. So if you will have your Bible there and follow with me, I would appreciate it very much. Brothers, we do not want you to be ignorant about those who fall asleep. Now let me pause there. The Thessalonian believers, they had come to faith in Christ because of the ministry of the Apostle Paul in their midst. But he was only there a very, very short time. The book of Acts refers to him being there on three Sabbath days. Now, probably he was there a little longer than that, but not a lot. And in that period of time, he exposed them to all kinds of biblical doctrine. And they got a little confused about some of it. And one of the things that they were confused about was, what's going to happen to the people who knew Jesus who died? And so Paul is writing back again, and he's saying, brothers, we do not want you to be ignorant about those who fall asleep, those who have died, or to grieve like the rest of men who have no hope. We have hope. And he said, I want to fill you in on the details, and I want you to understand them very clearly. We believe that Jesus died and rose again, and so we believe that God will bring with Jesus those who have fallen asleep in him. According to the Lord's own word, we tell you that we who are still alive, who are left till the coming of the Lord, will certainly not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a loud command, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet call of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. After that, we who are still alive and are left will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will be with the Lord forever. Therefore, encourage each other with these words. They were somewhat discouraged, and he is saying, no need to be discouraged, because this is what is going to happen. The Lord had revealed it to him. He had revealed it to them, and he was clarifying it for them. Now, there are some things left out of this passage, or should I put it this way, there are some things this passage is not talking about. It's not talking about who is left behind. Nothing said about that. It's not talking about the resultant chaos on earth when these dead people, when the graves open, and millions of people who are alive suddenly disappeared. Not talking about that. He's not talking about Satan's anger at losing all of these potentially temptable people. Not talking about that. It's not talking about the absence of all of these Christians who make up the church on earth. Not talking about that. He didn't talk about the Antichrist. He doesn't talk about Christ's return in judgment on the earth. That's not here in these half dozen verses that we have read. So what is here? And there are four things that I want to draw your attention to in this passage. The first thing is the pillars of this event. What is the base on which this whole event, called various things, one of the things we call it is the rapture, and the reason we call it the rapture is because of a particular word that is used in the passage, caught up or snatched away. And that's an English translation of a Greek word, harpazo. But when the people were translating it into Latin, using a Latin word, the Latin word was rapto. And our English word rapture doesn't come out of the text here. It actually came from the Latin translation. So what are the pillars that we're talking about? Well, he specifies two of them. Look at verse 13 and 14. Brothers, we do not want you to be ignorant about those who fall asleep, or to grieve like the rest of men who have no hope. We believe that Jesus died and rose again, and so we believe that God will bring with Jesus those who have fallen asleep in him. The pillars of the rapture are the death and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. If he had not died and paid the price for our sin, there would be absolutely no hope for us at all, ever. And if he had not risen from the dead, he could not return to take us to be with him. So the base of everything that this passage is about is what the Lord Jesus Christ has done for us. He came, he died, he paid the price we could not pay for our sin. The shedding of blood had been required as the price for the sin of men. No man could pay that price because his blood wasn't pure enough. And Jesus came, and he was sinless. And he could pay the price. And he did pay the price. But how could he give you life? How could he give you eternal life if he were not alive? That would be strange and would not happen. And so after those 3 days, he took back his life, rose from the dead, and has been in glory interceding for you and for me ever since, and waiting for the day when he would come to take us home to be with him. There are two things that grow out of the fact that these two items are the bases on which the rapture is based. The death of the Lord Jesus Christ obviously satisfied his Father, God. It satisfied God's justice. It satisfied God's righteousness. It satisfied God's holiness. And then his death was totally sufficient to pay for our sin. Let me read 2 Corinthians chapter 5. I have a new Bible. 2 Corinthians, not in the same place it used to be, but I will find it. 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 21. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. So the pillars for the rapture are the death and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus said, because I live, you too will live. Remember what he said to Martha and Mary. I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me is going to have that resurrection life. The second thing I want you to look at here is the participants of the rapture. Who are those who will be involved in that something that we were introducing? Well, let's look at verse 15. Verse 15. According to the Lord's own word, we tell you that we who are still alive, who are left till the coming of the Lord, will certainly not precede those who have fallen asleep. We know that Christ is obviously going to be involved. I mean, this is all about him. If he doesn't come for us, we aren't going to him. And so he is obviously involved. But the dead in Christ, the next group that are involved. And I wanted to do this in a little more dramatic fashion, but then I wondered if maybe I wouldn't be coming back in August if I did. And I'm scheduled to be back one more time. I was going to have Steve up here on the platform, dead. And Sean here on the platform, hopefully alive. And then we were going to resurrect Steve. I wasn't sure what I was going to do with Sean. Christ is involved. He obviously is one of the participants. Those who have died in Christ, those who trusted the Lord Jesus Christ and then passed away and were buried in the ground, their bones were, those bones are going to be resurrected. But there are going to be millions of people who haven't died who are also going to be involved in that rapture. I think Paul the Apostle was hoping that the Lord Jesus Christ would come when he was on earth so that he would go up in the rapture without dying. But he gave into it, knowing full well that the moment he passed away, he would be instantly in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. I was involved in a funeral from our church this week and went to the visitation for our brother Harold Bushby yesterday. Two dear saints, one from Coburg, one from Toronto, entered into the presence of their Savior just this past week. Have you ever asked yourself the question, what must that be like? I think I mentioned that when I was here for the anniversary service, and I've asked myself that many times in this past year. What must it be like to look into the face of the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who gave his life for me and for you? You know who won't be there? You know who won't be involved in this occasion? Unbelievers will not be involved. So let me pause for just a moment. If you are here today and you know in your heart that you have never trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. You've never come to Him and said, I'm a sinner, I know it, I can do nothing for myself. Would you please save me by your grace? If you have never done that, and the rapture were to take place, you would not be involved. You would be left behind. It is just that clear. And if you don't know the Savior, my friend, you are playing with fire, because He could come today. He could come tomorrow. You may have another week. You may have another year. I don't know, and you don't know. But it could happen at any time. You know who else will not be involved? Satan and his demons are not going to be involved, except they're going to be angry. As I mentioned, they're losing this whole body of temptable people, and it'll cut down on their work. And the Antichrist is not going to be involved. Christ will be involved. Those who have died in Christ will be involved. Those who are alive and know the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, they will be involved. Those are the participants of the rapture. Now, what about the plan of the rapture? And that's spelled out for us beginning again in verse 15. So let me read it. According to the Lord's own word, we tell you that we who are still alive and who are left till the coming of the Lord will certainly not precede those who have fallen asleep. And here's the plan. For the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a loud command, with the voice of the archangel, with the trumpet call of God, and Steve will rise first. The dead in Christ will be alive first. Now, Paul's whole point for spelling this out so clearly is they were concerned about their friends and relatives who had already died in Christ. So he's laying it right out there. Look, when the trumpet sounds, when Christ calls, first he's going to deal with those who have died in Christ. He's going to resurrect them from the grave. Now you notice it's the Lord himself who is coming. He's not sending an angel. This won't be Gabriel. This won't be Michael. This will be our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. He paid for this. He planned for this. And he is going to carry this out himself. Remember when he stood at the grave of Lazarus and he shouted, Lazarus, come forth. Well, this time he's going to shout a lot louder. He's going to shout from heaven. And those who know him, those who have trusted him, have been born again by the Spirit of God, whether they are dead or alive, are going to hear him, because their hearing has been tuned to hear his voice. And then the passage indicates he's going to descend from heaven. He's going to descend from the third heaven to the first heaven. And there he will be in the clouds. And the passage indicates that we will rise to meet him in the clouds. The Lord himself will come down from heaven with a loud command, with the voice of the archangel, with the trumpet call of God. The dead in Christ will rise first. And after that, we who are still alive and are left will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will be with the Lord forever. So the dead in Christ will rise. Now, there's something that takes place instantly. And for that, we need to turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Would you turn there, please? Don't try to base it on your memory. You may miss something here, okay? 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 51. It reads this way. Listen, I tell you a mystery. We will not all sleep. That is, we will not all die. But we will all be changed in a flash, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. Do you know what the twinkling of an eye is? You really know what that is? Let me tell you. If you're parked at the end of a street and you want to turn left or right, and you make that turn and all of a sudden there's a car there and you hadn't seen that car, you know what you did? You blinked. You blinked. I've almost been in two or three accidents because I didn't look twice. I only looked once. And when I looked once, my eyes blinked and I missed the vehicle that was there. This is a lesson in driving. Pay attention. I mean it. It can happen just that easily. In the blink of an eye, Steve is going up. Sean is going up. But a change is going to take place instantly. Am I too loud for the baby? That change is going to be incredibly fantastic. I was trying to think of a different word. We will not all sleep, but we will all be changed in a flash, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, the dead will be raised imperishable. Why are they dead? Because they perished. But he said, they're going to be raised imperishable. They will never die again. And we will be changed too. That is, those of us who are alive when he comes. For the perishable must clothe itself with the imperishable, and the mortal, that's those who are alive when he comes, must be clothed with immortality. You see, that which is perishable cannot exist in heaven, and that which is mortal cannot exist in heaven. So we have to be changed. And that change will be dramatic and will be instantaneous, and we will continue on our way up to meet with the Lord in the air. So he blows the trumpet, or has the trumpet blown, and he calls, and he descends, and we rise to meet him in the air. Any idea what kind of power that takes? Why don't you try it and see how high you go? I've watched some basketball this past week, and they were constant demonstrations of how high some of these fellows could jump. That's nothing for a 6'8" to get his head up above the basket. But I watched a 5'3" dunk the ball just as easily. He's a leaper. He's a leaper. But he only got 3 or 4 feet off the floor. We're going to heaven. That's going to take a lot of steam. A lot of us. It's not one trainload. There are going to be millions. And the power to get us there is unbelievable power. And it's going to take place in an instant. In an instant. Now there's one more thing. And that is the prophet. Not P-R-O-P-H-E-T, We're not talking about a man. We're talking about the benefit. P-R-O-F-I-T. The profit of the rapture. Well, let's think of these things. First of all, on that day, we're going to see our Savior face to face. From the moment you begin to hear about the Lord Jesus Christ, everything is by faith. I mean, you take what you're told by faith. You take what you read by faith. But you have not seen him. But on that day, face to face, you will look into the eyes of the one who saved you at the cost of his life. That's going to be someday. That's going to be someday. The second thing is going to take place. We're going to be reunited with Everett Cole, who went to see the Lord this week, and Harold Bushby, who went to see the Lord this week, and all of our other friends and relatives who have preceded us and are there now. I have no idea what that reunion will be like. People say all kinds of things about it. I have no idea. But it's going to be something. It's going to be something. And you can imagine shaking hands with Daniel and Jeremiah and many, many other saints. And then the third benefit is we are going to be there with the Savior for how long? Forever. Forever. My wife has been there now 14 months. Like a day. A half a day. No time at all. Because that's just a little bit of eternity, and that will never end. And there are two other things. Encouragement for you and comfort for the sorrowing. Paul says to these believers, be comforted by the fact that Jesus is coming back. And when he comes back, your relatives are going home and they're going to be raised from the dead first, before you are caught up, and then you're going to be caught up with them. So comfort yourself. Don't be sorrowing like those who have no hope, because you have hope. Jesus is going to do this. And then be encouraged. Be encouraged to do what? Well, to be a cheerful Christian, to be a joyful Christian, to tell others about what's coming. Be encouraged to do that. The man that passed away from our church this past week was in the hospital for a few weeks. He knew every one of the nurses by name. He knew their husbands' names. He knew their kids' names. He knew what churches they went to or didn't go to. And every one of them got a witness about the coming of the Lord Jesus. This should encourage all of us to do that same thing. Because you never know, just as I don't know this morning, who particularly needs this message. But you'll never know whether that person you're looking at who doesn't know Christ is ready at that particular moment to hear about him. You know he's coming back. You know you're going up. You know that all of the benefits of that are going to be yours. But they could be your brothers, your bosses, your nurses, your doctor's benefits as well, if you had the courage to tell them. Now let me ask you a question. if the rapture takes place this week, I'll give you more than today. If the rapture takes place, if the trumpet is blown and Jesus calls, will you hear the call and be able to respond? Think about it. Think about it. It's going to happen in a moment, it'll be over. And eternity is in the balance. So I guess the question is, where do you want to spend eternity? You want to spend it with Him? Then you need to be ready to hear that call. And if you haven't trusted the Lord Jesus Christ yet, before you leave here this morning, you need to do business with God. You need to take care of it today, not tomorrow. Satan is saying, you got a week? Take the week. I mean, don't be in September would be good. Wait till you come back from vacation. My friend, you may be dead before the end of the summer. Death has nothing to do with age, okay? Anything could happen to you between now and the end of the summer. But what could happen to you this morning before you leave is you could know for certain that you were going to spend eternity with the Lord Jesus Christ, which is far better, let me tell you, than the other option. And if you are interested in talking with someone about this, your pastors will be here, and there are other folks in the congregation who will be here ready to take the Word of God and help you make your decision today to trust the Lord Jesus Christ. He loves you. He died for you. Don't throw that away. Don't waste it. Let's pray. Loving Father, by your Holy Spirit, will you use your word today in each heart to accomplish what needs to be accomplished there? Encourage those who need encouragement. Comfort those who need to be comforted. Challenge those, our Father, who know you but have been a little too casual about it. And then minister to those who do not know you yet. And draw them to yourself today, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.